Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. It's great to have you joining us for this morning's message. Today's lesson comes from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verses 1 through 15, which is the story of King David's moral failure with the wife of one of his loyal soldiers, Uriah. Alexa, Siri, Contra, and Google Home. These are just several of the many digital assistants currently being developed and sold. Not only will they answer questions for us, but these units can turn your home into a smart home that you can control through your smartphone. One of the most astounding features of these units is that they respond to voice commands, and you can even have a conversation with one of them. Ask them a question, and they will answer it for you by accessing the information from off the World Wide Web. If you are willing to install the additional hardware in your home, they can control many things for you. They can regulate temperature, open and close blinds, and lock and unlock doors. Furthermore, you can do these things either standing in your living room or halfway around the world, all remotely by your smartphone. When we can have a conversation with a computer, it begins to be even easier than to assign human traits to them. We hear this is happening more and more today. With the advent of artificial intelligence, it is becoming harder for some people to distinguish between the two. Many Americans are now starting their days by asking Alexa to give them the latest weather report, play them a song, or find a recipe for them from the internet. The downside of this is that young children may be thinking of these types of objects as living things. One owner of an Alexa says that his toddler now talks to beverage coasters and then waits for a response. Perhaps you might remember the movie Her that came out in 2013. This was a story of a lonely man who develops a relationship with a talking computer's operating system. Although it might have seemed a bit hard to believe a few years ago, now it seems quite plausible. Research is beginning to show that people who feel isolated and alone are very likely to begin assigning human traits to their gadgets. And it is also beginning to come to light that when people are lonely and isolated enough, they will begin to develop unhealthy relationships with inanimate objects. There was a National Geographic article a while back reporting that a man in Washington State has named his car Vanilla and claims to have a romantic relationship with it. Hearing about other similar relationships, it becomes clear that there is a danger assigning personalities to objects and thinking of them in the same way that we would think of a human being. I don't think we want our kids to become adults who talk to coasters or fall in love with their cars. This should be a cautionary tale for us because while it may be strange to assign human attributes to objects, it is dangerous to think of human beings as objects, especially when we only think of them as something we can use to satisfy our own personal ambitions and desires. While King David certainly had other faults, the one that really blindsided him was when he looked out from the palace and saw Bathsheba bathing, and at that moment she became the object of his desire. And that is when he began to think of her not as a human being, but merely as something he could use to give himself pleasure. David's problems really begin in the spring of the year. This is when we are told that kings go out to battle, but instead of fulfilling this role as Israel's military leader and leading his soldiers in the war with the Ammonites, he sends his captain Joab to lead in his place. Then we are told that he remains in the safety and comfort of the city of Jerusalem. As I read through this story, there is an old saying that keeps coming to mind. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. We read that late one afternoon, David wakes from a nap and takes a walk on the palace roof. As he looks down, he sees a beautiful woman bathing. David is captivated and sends a messenger to find out who the woman is. And he is told, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Bathsheba is married to one of David's loyal soldiers. What becomes very clear from the report is that Bathsheba is off limits, even for the king. Not only is she married, but she is the daughter of one of David's biggest supporters, Eliam. And this is where the real problem arises. David fails to practice the level of self-control that he should, and sends for Bathsheba to come to the palace. He then uses her to satisfy his desires. I'm sure that David doesn't give a lot of thought to her afterward. She returns home and David goes on about his business. Then a few weeks later, Bathsheba sends word to the palace that she is pregnant. So now what started out as just a passing infatuation has turned into a life-changing event. Now David has become the father of an illegitimate child with a woman married to one of his loyal soldiers. This has the potential to be scandalous. But even in spite of the situation, David fails to take responsibility for his actions. He deludes himself into believing that he can keep his bad behavior from coming to light and begins to plan a way to cover it all up. He sends for Uriah to come and give him a report on the war's progress. Then he gives Uriah every opportunity to go and sleep with his wife so that David might cover up the fact that he is the father of Bathsheba's child. But Uriah is a good man and does not go home. Uriah feels guilty that he is given the chance to be home with his wife while his fellow soldiers are camped out on the field of battle. "I will not do such a thing," he says. Uriah turns out to be a much more honorable man than his king, and he is loyal to a fault. As often happens when people attempt to cover up bad behavior, one lie leads to another, and one bad act results in several. David sees one last chance to hide his misdeeds. He contacts his general, Joab, and says, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him so that he may be struck down and die." David's orders are followed to the letter, and so Uriah is struck down on the field of battle. Uriah has simply become an object, a problem that must be eliminated so that the truth of David's illicit affair with Bathsheba will not be exposed for all to see. David's treatment of Bathsheba and Uriah should have a chilling effect on us. First, it illustrates the problem of a leader having too much power where no one holds him accountable. This causes me to remember yet another very important truth. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Secondly, David's story illustrates for us the danger of seeing a human being as an object, one that we are willing to use merely to satisfy our own desires or to achieve our own agendas. David has failed to think of Bathsheba as a person, but merely as something he can use to bring himself pleasure. Instead of treating Uriah with the honor he deserves, he sees him as an object that stands in his way and must be removed so that his misdeeds will remain hidden. But David's actions and his failed attempts at covering up bad behavior is nothing new. Just think of the prominent people who have been in the news this past year. Harvey Weinstein, Charlie Rose, Matt Lauer, Louis C.K., Brett Ratner, Kevin Spacey, and Bill O'Reilly. Each one has been accused of sexual misconduct. They treated people like objects and then used their power and influence to try to cover up their bad behavior. Of course, it's not only kings or celebrities who are caught treating people like objects. Greed, selfishness, and the pursuit of pleasure are always part of the formula that opens the door for individuals and corporations alike to behave in this way. Sometimes people seek out other people to date and even to marry, not for love, but because they have money and status. We see corporations and businesses who view employees simply as a tool to be used to make a profit. They hire undocumented workers so that they can pay them less than minimum wage. Some companies use huge numbers of part-time instead of full-time workers so they can keep from having to pay health benefits. There are countless stories of middle and upper management people who dehumanize their employees by thinking of them as a commodity to be used to make a profit for the company. And when they are used up or simply burn out, they simply find a way to conveniently discard them and bring in new ones. Treating people like objects is certainly not limited to the realm of sexual misconduct. It can and does happen, often and everywhere in our materialistic culture today, where so much emphasis is placed on having more and getting more stuff. I formerly worked in a management position for a number of years before I became a minister, and the best piece of advice I ever received came from an older gentleman who was getting ready to retire. He said, "If you want to live in such a way that you can look back on your life with no regrets, follow this simple rule. Value people, use things, not the other way around." I am completely convinced that if David had followed this simple rule, if he had treated Uriah and Bathsheba like people instead of things, this would not have become the story of David's biggest moral failure. Value people, use things. It's just such a simple rule, but it is a rule that we ignore to our peril. We must never forget that each person is a child of God, and every person is someone's mother, father, sister, brother, daughter, son, husband, wife, employee, or fellow Christian. And each one of them is loved and valued by God. Loving people and not using them to achieve our own ends is one of the fundamental practices of the Christian faith. This also puts me in mind of the command that Jesus gave to his disciples as he began to explain that he would soon be leaving them. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." John 13:34. Value people, use things. This is a fundamental rule that David chose to ignore, and it resulted in a chain of negative events that would plague him for the rest of his life. While it might be a bit strange to assign human attributes to objects, it becomes downright dangerous when we begin to treat human beings like objects. And as David's story clearly demonstrates to us, it can cause a lifetime of regrets. If we only take David's story to heart, perhaps we can avoid falling into the same trap that David found himself in. Value people, use things, not the other way around, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.